And all God's people said, Emmanuel. The meaning of the name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. It's the message of Christmas. God became one of us. So welcome to each one. It's just it's good to be here together, isn't it? Be able to come and come out of the busyness of the streets and the malls and stores, all the, and just to be here, to be in the presence of where God has said He would come and meet with us, to celebrate the birthday of the one who has given us His life that we might have life in His name. Can I do just one thing that I want to do? Just speaking of birthdays. But Pastor Greg has a birthday coming up, and I just want you to know it's not this week, it's next week, and I'm not going to tell you how old he is, but it starts with a 5 and ends with a 0. So, oh, okay, we got 1, 2, 3, we're going to go, Pastor, happy birthday, Pastor Greg. 1, 2, 3, happy birthday, Pastor Greg. Love you, man. It is a privilege to serve with you, brother. And you feel it, yes, you do. Oh, let's bow our heads, ask God's presence as we open His Word today. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace. We're amazed. How could you give up everything for us? So we're grateful, we rejoice, we hardly know what words to say. We brought you our gifts this day, this gift of song and word. But now may we know the reality of love that beats at the heart of the universe. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's an old Christmas carol. You might recognize it. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. How Jesus, my Savior, did come for to die. For poor, ornery people like you and like I wonder as I wander out under the sky. Anybody here ever wonder? Anybody ever wander? Yeah. I'm remembering back to those years as I wandered and I wandered and I'm still amazed at how He did it and the pieces that came. And that night when I just went alone in a cabin there right by the Appalachian Trail, and I just said, okay, I don't know if you can even hear me. I don't know if there's even a God out there to even hear my voice. But if you're there, I want to say yes to you. I want to give my life to you. It was just a couple days later. And on the Appalachian Trail there, it was actually a place for camp, and it was called I've never forgotten it, Crabtree Meadows. Not the most beautiful name in the world, but a beautiful place to me. And I remember that night, my sleeping bag, and there out from under the trees out there in the meadow and looking up and just seeing the Milky Way, and I just thought, wow. So the Milky Way was so close, I felt like I could touch it. And the stars were just popping, they were just everywhere, and I thought, there's got to be a God. There's got to be. I wonder as I wander out under the sky how Jesus, my Savior, did come for to die. Ever wondered? Yeah. Now take this. Let's take the next step. Consider this. Consider these realities, and I'm going to share some stuff that we know from astronomy, and we know from the Hubble spacecraft and the telescope. But look at this number, and start thinking numbers here. I was glad that Mark Smith, who teaches math, was here first service because he helped me out. But one light year—that's how far light travels in a year. One light year is 6 trillion miles. That's a 6 with how many zeros? Who just said that? Whoever said it, thank you. Yeah, it's 12. 6 with 12 zeros in 1 year. That. Now, catch the next slide and the next fact. The Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years across. 6 with 12 zeros, 100,000. What number is that? Here it is. Can anybody say that number out loud? Stephanie. 600 quadrillion miles. Whew. Across the Milky Way, our home galaxy. There it is. Wow. 600 quadrillion. Wow. 17 zeros. Okay, now, you thought that was big. Now you need to fasten your seatbelts. Here comes the big one. How many galaxies are there in the universe now that Hubble, the telescope, has been helping us to see what we never could know before, never saw? 350, what is that one? Billion, 300, oh, by the way, it says about. At least what the research I did said, this is a conservative estimate. This is conservatively saying there are 350 billion galaxies in the universe. Look at that little square in the sky brought in. This is what this telescope sees as it shoots out. And we just go, what? Huh? How can this be? This is just, and then it hits us and suddenly you feel the terror of immensity. Do you know what that means about planet Earth? You take all the beaches and all the oceans on the, and you take and pick out one grain of sand. That's us. We're a dust mote in the universe. What? Huh? This is how, and we look at this thing and we go, really? God became one of us? This must just be a story. It's a story that we just tell each other. We tell ourselves this story to comfort ourselves as we face the terror of the dark. Is that what it is? Just a story we tell and tell our kids and help us feel. I think of my neighbor back there, my friend back in Silver Spring, Maryland, and I shared this a couple weeks ago, those of you who were here, but I can still hear him, you know, we'd gotten to be friends, and I just moved in across, my parents had just moved to the D.C. area, and I had come in my senior year, and I was there, and met, and we talked, got to know each other. They invited me to go with them to synagogue on Friday night, and I went, and we got to know, and he felt safe enough, and at one point he said, I want to ask you a question. I said, yeah. He said, you don't really believe that the great creator God of the entire universe became a human being. You don't really believe that. And here's a young man who was a believer. He believed that there was a creator. There's a creation. The creator created. He believed all. He goes, but you don't really believe that one became one of us. Before I respond, I want us to look at the words of Jesus that he responded to when the tempter met him in the desert. And you remember that. He had been baptized by John the Baptist, and as he came up out of those waters of baptism, and remember baptism, to be buried and then to be raised up, and as he's raised up, he says the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove, and he heard a voice, and it said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Or did he? Did anybody else hear the voice? Look at these words. We're here in Matthew chapter 4, and the tempter came and said, if, really, you think you heard something that nobody else heard? You kind of, come on, you're, but really? Well, if you are the Son of God, well then do something here and command these stones to become loaves of bread. Work a little miracle here. Look at his answer. His answer in verse 4, he answered, it is written. It is written? Really? You're going to stake your life on something that's written from this long ago? And really? You're going to stake your life on something that, huh? It is written, man shall not live by bread. Oh, yeah, we need bread. Yeah, we need it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Christmas dinner, the feasts, all the that's good stuff. All the wonderful stuff that happened next door. Thank you, Judy, Zacherson, and team, and all who helped that happen this morning. But yeah, we need bread, but we don't live by bread alone. It's not just taking care and keeping alive the material us. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Huh? Yeah. It's the word that comes from the mouth of God that is our life. We live by the words the word spoke. These, and Jesus, in response to the tempter, goes, no, no, no. It's not bread alone. It's every word. What does the word say? Look at these words. These words are, here's the thing. If you've heard this your whole life growing up in a church, you've become, I hesitate to say it, but we've become gospel hardened. We've just heard this stuff. It's like water off a duck's back. We've heard it again and again. Hear these words. In the beginning, remember Genesis 1:1, the very first words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. Here in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That word is logos in the Greek. In the beginning was the logos. This is the one that is the wisdom, the principle, all of creation itself. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, what does it say? Speaking of creator, all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And now here's the place to fasten the seatbelts again, because here's the big one. Verse 14. And the word became flesh. What? The one who's at the one who's beyond, the one who is the source, the life source of 350 billion Milky Ways, that one? Became flesh? What? No. And we have seen his glory. Yes. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. And we struggle. We go, yes. The man who's writing these words is a man named John. Now an old man. Now in his 90s, as a young man, the youngest disciple of Jesus. The one who had been with him, the one who had walked with him, the one who had seen him die on a tree, the one who saw him 3 days later with his own eyes alive. He writes these words. He writes these words and says, we've seen him. And we've seen his glory, full of grace and truth. This good God. And we look at this and we say, John, what? He is Yah. You go, well, God, how are you going to do this thing? How are you going to fix this thing? How are you going to take this mess and all the brokenness? What are you going to do? It's not on the screen, but it's here. Psalm chapter 8. It's the 8th Psalm. Listen to these two verses. 1 and 2. O Lord, 4 capital letters, L-O-R-D, caps, which is the word which was used by the Jewish writers to make sure they wouldn't say it out loud and misuse God's name. And so they put a word around it. O Lord, the I am. Not I was, not I will be, not I but the I am from eternity past to eternity into the future. The I am, O Lord, our Lord, L-O-R-D, lowercase. How majestic is your name in all the earth. You set your glory above the heavens. Here it comes. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy. What? You're going to fix this world with a baby? Huh? And yet you look at this story, and that's what happens. You look at this story of a guy who's 100 years old and his wife's 90, and there is no way they've waited their entire lives. And what happens? A baby is born, and what do they name him? Laughter. Huh? How did you do this? Out of the mouth of a... You take a baby born named Moses who is meant to be thrown to the River Nile and the crocodiles because there is no way he's going to... No, and what happens? That baby in a basket of bulrushes, that baby there found becomes the one who delivers his... Out of the mouth of babes and infants is the way the Lord works. And he's going to do it here again. And he is doing it here again. And he's doing it now. And he's doing it through this one that we call Jesus. How does he do it? I invite you to look back to the light that shines from a town called Bethlehem. And we look at these words. You've heard them. Now there were in the same country shepherds living in the field. Shepherds. Are you serious? Shepherds, the lowlifes, there's no way that God's going to pick. No, and yet, not a palace, but the shepherds in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. It's not just dark. The whole country is in darkness. The country is under the boot of oppression. There's an occupying army, and it isn't just the recent one. Ever since Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians, 600 years earlier, 700 years earlier, Babylonians, then the Persians, and then the Greeks, and now the Romans. It's as though God's people would never come out from under the boot of oppression. In that darkness, and with those who are outside, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone, and they were greatly afraid. Would you have been afraid? Me too. We keep going. Next verse, verse 10. The angel said, don't be afraid. Isn't that amazing? The word from heaven to us is what? Yeah, you live on a dangerous planet. Yeah, it's a dangerous time. Yes, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what you're seeing. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. Some of the people, the insiders, the respected, for all people. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Savior, a rescuer. There's born a rescuer who is Christ. What's the word Christ go back to in the Hebrew? Messiah. There is a Savior who is Messiah, the Lord. A baby in Bethlehem today, now, tonight. And this will be the sign. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. When I was younger, I thought, swaddling clothes, that must be something kind of holy and halos. And no, swaddling clothes are diapers. Okay, there you go. Just diapers. He's one of us. He comes as one of us, and here he is, and he's lying in a manger. Was it Thursday night at a Christmas concert and with all the children of the school and Leanne's class were kindergarten, and I went and I sat with them ahead of time, well, before we went in for the songs, and I just said, so who was God's son? And the kids all go, Jesus. And I go, and where was he born? Bethlehem. And was he born in a palace? No, he was born in a barn. And I go, okay. And where did his mother lay him? In a manger. I said, manger? Yeah, he laid in the hay. I said, did the cows bite him? And they go, No, they were nice cows. You know, yeah, of course they were. This is their king. It's the king of the universe. No, the cows didn't bite him. Wow. And suddenly, boom, from one, suddenly, poof, the sky is lit up, and there's a multitude, and they're all praising God. And what do they say? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill. Men, women, boys, and girls. Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, no matter where you're from, it's for you. It's for all of us. And what is the message? Do you see what this means? This message of Christmas, what is it? The great God of the universe is for us, not against us. No matter what you've been told, or what you've thought, or what you've heard, and whatever pictures, or whatever you've seen in a movie, or the great God, the great creator God of the universe is for us, not against us. This God is the God who is on our side. And it doesn't matter. It does not matter how much, how many things are stacked against you, or how great or how high that mountain, or what. It does not matter. Because the one that counts is for you. He's for you, and he's for me. The one that counts. That perhaps there were, you say, man, I've had all the odds, I've had the deck stacked against me, Pastor. The deck was stacked against me from the get-go. It wasn't right. Perhaps there were issues in your family of origin. Issues in your family of origin that made it really, really difficult to keep you from starting strong. And you feel like, if I could have just had a better start, a different start. Or maybe it was at school, and maybe the kids didn't really reach out and be friendly to you, and maybe there were some bullies, or maybe there was a teacher who didn't value you. It made school a steeper learning curve than it ought to have been. Or perhaps it's at work. Maybe it's at work, and there's a colleague that just is. He's got it in for you. Just this colleague is just making life miserable. This colleague that just, and or maybe it's the boss, and you never get that promotion. You never get that. And look, I know I'm talking real stuff here. It's the real stuff of our lives. All these things, all of the odds that are against us, everything that's stacked against us, or could it perhaps be the bad decisions that I've made, and by my bad decisions, I've forged chains. Perhaps they're chains of addictions. I forged these chains, and these chains that are binding me, and I can't break out of it. I can't stand and straighten myself because the chains are just, they're too heavy. Maybe it's alcohol, drugs. When we talk addiction, we now have to say it every time. Pornography. No matter what it is, the one that matters, the one that counts is for you, not against you. He's for you, he's not against you, and his purpose is to break every chain in my life, in your life, all of our chains, that we stand up and that we be fully alive. The glory of God is a human being who's fully alive. Amen. I just described Jesus and Jesus' purpose in each of our lives, to be a fully human be a human being fully alive in this Christ. So the deck stacked against you, the odds all against you, doesn't matter. If God be for us, who can be against us? Here they are, the words, again, the Word of God, Romans 8. Look at these words. What shall we say to these things? All this stuff we're talking, what do we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. And don't see this like, oh, the Father, oh, you go do take care of that. That's bad. No, this is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. This is together in a unified mission together to say, I'm going to give him up. I'll give up my beloved son. Talk about gift. You talk about Christmas. He gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This God who is for us and not against us. You notice the grace word? What's the definition of grace around here? Grace. God giving me what I don't deserve. Mercy. God protecting me from what I deserve. Mercy and grace. The gift of God through Jesus in your life and in mine. You say, but yeah, all this stuff, all these things, all the, what, hey, is that going to stop? Is that just going to blow up everything that God ever planned and ever purposed for your life? Let me let Scripture answer that. Verse 37. What's the first word? No. The first word. Is it going to blow up everything? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. By the way, I love that word in the Greek. The word is, we are super Nikes. That's the word in Greek, it really is. In all these things, we are more than, we're super Nikes through him who loved us. For I am sure, he said, I'm convinced, I'm positive, that neither, look at the first one on the list, neither death. God has been among us this year of 2019. And he's been among us even as we have said goodbye from the very first week of January to a week and a half ago. We've seen death. But we know the end of the story, amen? Christians never say goodbye for the last time, right? We never do. We know. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, amen. All God's people shouted, amen. Whew, wow. What a God. What a good God. For God so loved the world. God, the creator of this immensity of a universe, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. To you, all of us. He gave his Son to us, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will find life. Eternal life that starts not in the future. It starts the day, the moment I say yes. Today, right now. So on this Christmas, I invite you to look one more time. Turn and look full in the face at the light that shines from Bethlehem. Look full in the face of the light that shines from Bethlehem. And that light speaks of Emmanuel, the God who is with us, the God who became one of us, and the God who is for us. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas indeed.
Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father God, we thank you for the message of this song, that all is well. It's the message of Christmas. Ephesians chapter 2 says that of Christ, he himself is our peace. Amen. Jesus, thank you for coming and being born in order to make peace a reality in our lives. Amen. Thank you that we have peace with God, yes, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have Holy Spirit living in our hearts. Yes. And Lord, the message of Scripture from beginning to end is that your greatest desire is to be with us, that we would be your people, and that you would be our God. And we know that at the end of Scripture, we see that you restore perfect order to this world. But what about between now and then? You come, and you live in our hearts. Amen. Thank you that the reality of kingdom is right now, that we have peace with you. And for anyone who isn't experiencing that peace, the promise is there that you're knocking at the door. You just want to come in. You want to be with us. And so my prayer over us today is these words from Ephesians chapter 3. Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power, amen, to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Amen. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that all is well. Amen. Amen. Amen.